Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Revelation 12, where we are today, is the tribulation period of 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. And as a result of all this tribulation and trouble and difficulty, the world has become a war zone. And when there is war in the earth, there's also war in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. And today we're going to see that. What happens in the spirit affects the earth. Your prayers affect the earth. Your words affect the earth. And its spiritual war is going on all the time. We just don't see it because we're not allowed to see into that spiritual realm unless God gives us the eyes to see at the moment. And so there is a spiritual war that's going on that you're not permitted to see in the spirit realm. And I pray that today, Father, that some way, somehow, if for but a brief moment, that you would pull back the curtain and let each one of us, Lord, to see in the spirit realm, even just for a moment while we're in this service together, to experience what is invisible to us most of the time. And I thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. It's like going snorkeling. If you go snorkeling, you put a mask on to snorkel the fins, and you go in the water, and you go down under the water, and you begin to see fish, you begin to see shells, or you begin to see things that you don't normally see on the surface. It's like it's a whole different world just under the surface of the water. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. It's just a thin veil between us and the spirit realm. And when God allows that veil to be pierced and allows us to see for a moment, we may see angels, we may see demons, we may see a light that we wouldn't normally see and things like that in the spirit realm as God allows us to do so. But there is a spiritual realm in which there's a lot of warfare going on even this moment, even as I'm preaching to you. And it would take another preacher to know this, that anytime you stand up to deliver the word of God, there's all kinds of oppression to come against you, all kinds of distractions to distract you and to distract the people of God. And so we know that these things that occur in the natural realm are actually activated by the spiritual realm. We do have an enemy that opposes us, and he is opposed to you hearing this word of God today. The purpose of this message today is this, and that is to inform you of a war that is going on. A war that is going on for your soul, beyond the physical realm. What can you expect? Well, when we look in Revelation 12, we begin to see what John was allowed to see in the Spirit. And there appeared a great wonder or a great sign in heaven. A woman was clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This first wonder that John sees is in heaven. He sees this woman who represents Israel. She's clothed with the sun. This is prophetic language. This is a prophetic picture. Israel clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. This was a similar vision that in the sun and the moon were part of Joseph's dream of himself. And we know out of Jacob came the 12 sons of Israel. And so this tiara, this crown that this woman wears in this image has 12 stars representing Israel. And she is intended, God has intended for Israel to be a light bearer to the world. And God intended for Israel to have a glorious destiny to birth the Messiah. And it goes on the next verses 2 and 5. And she, being with a child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And so we see that this is a picture of the Messiah, Israel's destiny. This is why she is here. And then another sign appeared. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And so first of all, we see that this thing is called a great red dragon. It's another sign or another wonder that John sees in the spirit realm in heaven. And we see that this dragon has authority. This dragon has 7 heads. 7 is the number of completeness. And so he has complete wisdom. He has 7 crowns. Crowns representing authority. He has complete authority to be able to do what he does. And then there are 10 horns. And Daniel gives us more information about this, that there will be a 10-nation confederacy of nations that will be under Satan's rule in the end times, probably the Arab oil nations. And Daniel prophesies about this in the book of Daniel. So we see the dragon's authority. One is coming upon the earth who has great authority. Secondly, we see the dragon's action in verse 12. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to earth. And we know in other places in the Bible that these stars are angels. They represent a third of the angels that were in heaven. And his tail drew out a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is a description of Satan's fall from heaven. Satan's fall from heaven, Jesus said that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when he was cast out. So when he was cast out of heaven, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. I was thinking about that this morning. Can you imagine? God, who knows everything and sees everything and hears everything, knew and heard Satan while he was in heaven, going around whispering, going around trying to get other people to join up with him because he had to have some conversations. He's going around whispering to the angels, and they began to side up with him while they're in the presence of God. God saw it. He knew it. He watched it, and he allowed it. And 1/3 of them fell with him. And he tried, we know this from history, that Satan tried to devour the Messiah at birth. He put the thought in King Herod's head to kill all the Hebrew children, the male children under 2 years of age. This thought might have seemed like it was just Herod's idea, but we know in the physical realm, there's always a spiritual influence behind the scenes. Always in your life, there's always a spiritual influence. So we see the dragon's authority. He has these crowns. He has complete authority to do what he's doing in the earth. We see his action. He gets a rebellion of demonic angels to come down to the earth where he is to work with him today. We don't know how many of these demonic angels, they are demons, are no more than angels who were fallen from their first estate, and now they are demons upon the earth. They have angelic power. They work invisible. And there are some here this morning in this room. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about spirit beings that have come to wreak havoc, to distract you, to put you to sleep, to distract you, to get you whatever, do whatever it takes to keep the word from getting into you. And then we see finally the devil's adversary. We see this in verse 5. And this woman brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and he will one day in the millennium. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. We know Jesus ascended after 40 days of the resurrection unto the very throne of God. Notice the dragon's adversaries have always been Israel and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel has a destiny. Israel has a purpose. And God says in the last days that much of Israel will be saved. In other words, they still play a part in God's prophetic plan. And we'll see that as we move farther ahead in the book of Revelation. The dragon's adversaries are Israel. This is why the Holocaust was, because Satan hates the people of Israel because they are people of a covenant, that God will keep his covenant. And he hates God's plans for them in the future. Satan hates Jesus Christ, and he hates anyone with Christ living inside them. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you not only got a Savior, but you got an enemy. And he is bent on keeping you immature, keep you from growing in the faith, keep your prayer life inactive, keep you from going into the Word, and he'll give you every excuse. It'll come in your own head to make you think it's your own idea. Well, I can't read well, or I don't comprehend, or I'm not very smart, or whatever it is. And when you voice those things, you've given him a legal authority because the words came out of your own mouth. Then you've given him a legal right to cause these things to happen to you. That's why I cautioned you at the altar a few moments ago. When you claim healing, it's the same way that you claim salvation. When you claimed salvation, you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. Your ears heard the words coming out of your mouth. I said it. Jesus is my Lord. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that he is the righteousness of God. I believe that by grace I'm saved through faith. I believe that. And you said it with your mouth. And the moment you said it with your mouth, legally it became yours. You believed it in your heart. You confessed it with your mouth. And the same thing works in the opposite direction. You come up and you have someone lay hands on you and you expect to get a tingle feeling, or you expect something to happen instantaneously. And it does happen instantaneously in the spirit, but maybe it didn't manifest in your body just yet. And you walk away and you still have that pain in your shoulder, your pain in your neck or your leg. And you say, well, nothing happened. You've just given the enemy legal right to say, that's right. I heard it out of his own mouth, out of her own mouth, and I lay claim to it. But if you'll hold on to the Word of God and say, it doesn't matter what I think or feel. It doesn't matter what I am believing that by his stripes I was healed, and I'm claiming that he, and you persevere with that, and you hang on to that. And I'm not letting go of the Word of God, even though, yes, there's a pain there. I know it's there, but every time I feel the pain, I declare I was healed by his stripes, and I stand on that Word, and I declare that Word. The manifestation will come. See, most people mistake a miracle and a healing. A miracle is instantaneous, and God does miracles. People get healed miraculously and instantaneously, the things are gone. But most of the time, healing is a process. And that's where they get confused. Well, I believed God. I went to the altar. I prayed. I believed his word. But you didn't watch your words. And then you started speaking the symptoms, speaking what the doctor told you. And you don't realize healing is a process. Bible says in Mark 16, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recover is a process. Could it be that God's building your perseverance? He's building your faith in the process. Because your faith to him is more important than you just getting an instantaneous miracle and going back to the way you were. Are you with me? And so we see we have an adversary. And this adversary is opposing you to go to church. He's opposing you to be a part of this church. He's opposing you to read the Bible. He's opposes you in prayer. He'll give you every possible way to run away from the things of God. And you have to be aware of that. It's not just coincidental. It's not just things happening in the natural. There is something going on in the spiritual realm that's trying to oppose you from getting stronger in faith and stronger in the Lord. So far we've seen two wonders in heaven. We saw a woman, which represented Israel, and then we see a dragon. Now we go deeper to see this war that's actually taking place in the spiritual realm. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. In other words, Satan is cast down to the earth. He is cast down to the, what we would say is the first heaven, the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven would be space and the planets. The third heaven would be where God's throne is. Satan had access to God's throne. He was the worship leader in heaven. And he rebelled and he was cast out. And he came down to the prince of the power, became the prince of the power of the air, was given authority over the atmosphere around the earth. And his demons came with him. So he's cast down to the third heaven, or the first heaven around the earth. In verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. If you go into warfare, you must know your enemy. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is spiritual. There are five names here given to Satan that you need to recognize. It reveals his strategies against you this very week. He's called a dragon. In other words, fierce and intimidating to look at. He uses a spirit of fear to make you back down from believing God. A dragon is fierce, uses destruction. No dragons today that we know of in the earth, but this would have been a creature that would have intimidated anyone to stand before. He's also called a serpent. You know how you can look down one day and see a snake and you go, whoa, where did he come from? Sneaky, sly. They get around, they get into places that you don't expect to see a snake. I killed a snake not too long ago by my office door. Opening up, there was a snake, and he was trying to get in my office, and I stomped on him and stomped on him. Well, I wasn't the first one who saw him. The first one who saw him was Miss Pam, and she didn't stomp on him. She danced. Whoa, whoa. She can jump a lot higher than she jumps in church. I want you to know, I've seen it. Yeah. And so we know this is one of Satan's strategies to get into places that you don't normally expect. He's sly, he's cunning, and he's called Satan, which means adversary. You have an adversary. If you feel opposition, if you know opposition from doing the things that God wants you to do, it's because Satan is your adversary. He's known as the devil, which means slanderer. He's going to accuse you. He wants to ruin your reputation. He wants to ruin your integrity, ruin your credibility, so that when you speak, no one will listen. He's out to slander you and any man and woman of God who speaks up for the Lord. And he's called the deceiver because he makes things that are wrong appear right. So we know that these are his five names that are listed in this verse that reveal what he does. Now think about your life this week. In what way has Satan been around your life just this past week? So you're starting to become more spiritually aware that things just don't happen, ladies and gentlemen. Things are not a coincidence. There's something behind the scenes that's attacking your life to wear you down, to discourage you, to depress you, to make you give up faith. Something is out to destroy your faith. You've got to get serious about this. You've got to get serious about becoming a spiritually mature saint in the Lord. You've got to get serious about your commitment to Christ. You've got to get serious about your words that come out of your mouth. I recommend going on a 30-day negativity fast. You want to find out how many of your words are negative and how quick you are to judge somebody else? Or just go on a 30-day negativity fast and invite the Holy Spirit to convict you instantly whenever you say something that's out of line. That's just 30 days, ladies and gentlemen. I hear people saying, "Whoo, 30 days. I mean, man, I got to get back to where I can slander people, but I can't go 30 days. I mean." And then we go to see that Satan was cast out. He says in verse 9, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The word cast out means to forcibly throw. Forcibly throw, hurl, or beat. So to cast out Satan means to forcibly throw. Cast out, hurl, or beat. Now you're starting to get a picture here. If you've seen the movie War Room, you remember the scene where the young lady finally realized, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Then she started walking through her house, and she commanded Satan to get out. What was she doing? She was forcibly casting him out. She was hurling him. She was beating him. She had authority over him, and she took that authority seriously, and she used her mouth as a weapon and said, get out of my house. Get off of my property. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my life. Get out of my finances. Get away from my children. Get out of my church. In the name of Jesus, get out and stay out. And oh, by the way, you're not taking my joy either, because my joy doesn't come from my husband, doesn't come from my spouse, doesn't come from my finances. My joy comes from Jesus. Now, you can do that. You're supposed to do that. That's not wild charismatic stuff. That's the Bible. You're to forcibly throw Satan out of your life. He's going to get in your way. He's going to try to be a dragon that intimidates you. He's going to be an adversary to your life. You know that opposition is. Don't pray that, oh, you never have any opposition. You need opposition because you need to know how to fight in spiritual warfare. You need to know how to fight the good fight of faith. And you need to know how to take authority over the devil. So we cast him out of our life. Whenever there's a breakthrough in our life, whether it be a emotional, physical, spiritual, whether it be a financial breakthrough, whatever it is, whenever there's a breakthrough, it's because the devil has been cast down. He cannot oppose. He cannot stay in that place any longer because you have taken back that ground that he was occupying. And you've realized you have legal authority over him. And as a believer, you have the right in Jesus' name to cast him down, and when you do so, that's when the breakthrough comes. And it always happens in the spiritual realm before you see it happening in the physical realm. So you have to walk by faith and declare the victory and celebrate the victory and then praise God before you see the walls come down, before you see anything change. That's walking by faith, believing God's word. And Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, we see in the heavenly realm that Daniel had prayed. He'd been praying for 21 days for a breakthrough. And as far as he could tell, before during this 21 days, there was nothing happening that he could see changing. In fact, it seemed like things were getting worse. And then an angel appeared to him on the 21st day of this and explained to him what was going on in the spiritual realm that he could not see in the natural. He said, this angel said to him, Daniel, from the first day that you began to fast and began to pray, the prayer was answered. It was sent from the throne of God. I was sent as a messenger of God to you, but there was opposition and a prince, a principality, a spirit being hindered me from getting the answer to you. Now, this is Old Covenant. This is Old Testament stuff. And we're given insight to what happens in the spiritual realm when a believer prays and doesn't quit. Now, I wonder what would have happened if Daniel would have prayed 2 weeks and said, well, nothing's happened. I'm not going to pray anymore about it. Are you catching on? We must pray and we must believe and we hang on and we persevere. We don't have to keep asking for the same thing over and over again. Once we know that we have the petitions that we ask Him for, we stand in faith and we thank Him for the manifestation. It is coming. The answer's on the way, and I thank You for it. And we stand in prayer believing God. Faith, that's warfare. It requires energy. It requires faith. It requires diligence on our part to believe God's word more than the physical circumstances that we see. And we must remember there's more going on in the spiritual realm than we see. Things are not as they appear. You can't go by appearances. Things are not as they appear. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. When you start talking about demons and evil spirits, a lot of people will run out of church because they haven't read the Bible. Is it possible for a believer to have a demon? If you'd asked me this 20 years ago, I'd have said no, because that's the way I was taught. But since that time, I've learned out, oh, yes, it is. A Christian can have pretty much anything they want to have. A Christian can have sickness. A Christian can have all kinds of sin in their life. And in the area of their soul, I'm not talking about possession. I'm talking about in the area of their soul. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. In the area of your soul, your mind, strongholds can be built. And strongholds are nothing more than the enemy having a strong hold on your mind. And strongholds have to be broken. And I believe that today that many of them will be. They'll be broken. But you're going to have to wage a good warfare when you leave. I don't want anybody to think that once you declare war on the enemy and you cast the enemy out, that if you walk out of here and you go back to the same stuff that you were involved in, that you got cleansed of, then guess what? Seven more come in greater than that. You don't play with this, folks. You don't play church. You don't play spiritual games. It's vital that you understand you have demonic opposition coming against you. Depression is a spirit of heaviness that's come against you. Not every time you have depression, but many times it's just a spirit of heaviness that comes upon you. It's a spiritual attack, and you have to fight it spiritually. You have to say, get out in the name of Jesus. I will not allow you to have any ground in my life. So this is very real, and the warfare that we're being revealed to in the book, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is revealing that there's going to be an intensity of warfare increase in the last days, meaning we're going to have to become more spiritual. We're going to have to become more spiritual minded. We're going to have to become more spiritually alert. We're going to have to become stronger in prayer, stronger in people of the Word of God, and living by the Word rather than by our feelings or by sight. Once you are a believer and you begin to exercise authority that God has given you in prayer and casting out the devil out of areas of your life, from the high places in your life, the war intensifies. Can I get a witness? Revelation 12:12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, hallelujah to the inhabitants of heaven, because he was kicked out. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the enemy has come down, and he's come down to wreak havoc and kill and rob and destroy from your life. Now, let's say that you have... You know that your enemy is going to come. You get special insight. Maybe the Holy Spirit, or maybe someone prophesies, or maybe an angel that lets you know that you need to be on your guard, because the enemy has a violent hatred for you and the way you're going. And he is coming at you and your household. He's coming at your spouse. He's coming at you any way he can to distract you and disrupt you and to mess with you. So what do you got to do when you get this insight? Do you turn tail and run? No, he'll chase you down, okay? No, and you're letting fear come in. No, you've got to learn to dig in. You've got to learn to know that this is a huge war. Things are not as they appear. From now on, I'll be on a high alert status, knowing that when things happen, that there's something going on in the spiritual realm as well. And I'm going to be alert to this. And I'm going to keep my praise on. I'm going to be very alert with my words. I'm going to be in the Word more and getting the Word in me more. And so you know that the enemy's coming. You know there's going to be a big battle. And maybe it's for the breakthrough you've been praying for all your life, for your marriage to be saved, for your healing to come, for your child to be delivered, for your financial breakthrough, for the church's breakthrough, whatever it is. But you know, this is the biggest battle of my life. And then as a Christian, you have to become more serious than you've ever become. You have to learn to use the weapons of your warfare. You've got to know how to fight an invisible foe. And you can't tell everybody about this because they'll just think you're crazy. You've got to be careful who you talk to about a dream you have. You need to be discerning and grow in wisdom because you're going to go toe-to-toe with a principality. And you have to be filled with the Spirit of God, and you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Satan's coming at you with everything he's got. By ourselves, we are no match. Do you understand? But in the words of Martin Luther's great song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, he must win the battle, and he has already won it. But you enforce the victory. Demons know he's already won the battle. But Satan knows that many of the believers don't know that Jesus has already won all the battles. Notice he says, Lord Sabaoth, his name. That's not Sabbath. It means Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the armies of angels in heaven. He is the Lord over all the planets called the starry host in the Bible. He is the Lord of the universe. He has everything that you need, all the resources of the universe at his disposal. He is the Jehovah Shebang. He's the Lord of everything that there is. He is the Lord. That's who he is. And so this word, Lord Sabaoth, is used 270 times in the Bible. It's a name that you can use if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. David used it. When David was going up against Goliath, Holy Spirit impressed upon him, get five smooth stones. He goes down to the riverbed and gets five smooth stones. He only needed one. And when he's coming up to Goliath, Goliath, that great big dragon of an intimidator standing before him, says, what are you little squeaky little punk coming up to me with sticks and stones? I'm going to eat you today. And David says, no, you're not. I'm going to cut your head off today. You come to me with your sword and your shield, your armor bearer and all that, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Do you understand? And in that name, he conquered a giant that physically would have been impossible. I'm telling you this because you are David. Lord Sabaoth is Jesus. And you can conquer in his name because he's already conquered everything that you'll ever face in this life, whether it be finances, it be illness, whether it be poverty, whether it be some kind of disease. He's already conquered it all, and you got to believe it like David and stand up in the face of your giant and say, no, you're coming down. I'm not coming down. I'm going over. Are you with me, church? Lord Sabaoth, the self-existing one, who's over all the heavenly army of angels and all of creation. He's our defender. We have that on our wall right over there. Our defender. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our redeemer. These are the things that we've learned in our journey at Grace Tabernacle. This is who God is to us. He fights our battles for us, and we go from victory unto victory because his army shall he lead. We walk in his victory. We don't have to strive. We have to fight the good fight of faith, stay in abiding. But he's our defender, and you're not alone in this. You're not alone. This has been the scriptures. The scriptures about God being with me have been lately quickened to me more than any other time in my life for some reason. And I don't know other than the Lord really wants me to believe and know that I'm not alone in anything that I face. I had a woman send me a letter that I've never met before in my life. She sent a letter from Colorado last week. And this letter, she says in this letter a prophetic word. She said, I really feel like God wants me to tell you this prophetic word. And the word was basically this, is you're not alone. I am with you. I've anointed you and I've appointed you to be a spokesman. And you're going to do what I've called you to do. And you're not alone in this. I don't even know this person. And they send this prophetic word in the mail. You're not alone, child. You're here in church today to hear this message because God knows something you're going to have to face here in the next week or the next month or the next year. And you need to really get this in your heart that you're not alone. The Lord of Sabaoth is with you. The Lord of hosts is with you. And you're made to be more than a conqueror in him. And you're to learn not to back down. Well, then we see the victory. We saw this. These two wonders, we saw this woman, Israel. Then we see this great red dragon. And we know that during the tribulation period, many people are going to die. One third of humanity is going to die from disease and the wars and all the horrible things that are happening. The rapture of the church has taken place, but there'll be people getting saved during the tribulation period. People turning to the Lord, 144,000, the Jews, fired up evangelist, and that will spark a revival that will go all over the world. And so there's going to be an intense warfare, and it seems like during the tribulation period, toward the last half of it, it's almost like that God's pulled the veil back to where you don't have to see in the spirit anymore. You see it very plainly in the natural that there's an antichrist and he's trying to rule the world, and you see what the enemy's doing and how he's wreaking havoc over all the world. And we have a battle. And if you're here during that time because you're not born again and then you get born again during that time, you're going to have an intense battle. An intense battle. And it says, but you can overcome because if you're in Christ, you can overcome. Here's our verse for today, Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him, come on, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let's say it again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. I want to close with these three things. Specific ways we overcome the devil, how we cast him down from this high place that he's standing before us, opposing us. The first way the war is won is by the blood of the Lamb. Not your blood, not my blood, but by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died upon the cross, before he went to the cross, he shed his blood first of all in Gethsemane. And there the battle raged and he had to say these words, not my will, thine be done. He sweat drops of blood. And so there in Gethsemane was the first blood of Jesus spilt. He had to die to his own will. We experience the blood of Jesus coming into our lives by faith, and our stubborn will submits to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we say, not my will, thy will be done. And by that, we overcome through the blood. And then Jesus wore the crown of thorns, the blood that heals our mind that was at war against God. We resisted God. We didn't understand God. We misunderstood God. We thought God was against us. And that blood of the crown of Jesus covers our mind and heals our mind, and we are no longer at war with God in our mind. And then the whipping post, Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed. And at the whipping post, the wounds of past trauma, even physical, we have been provided healing in the atonement by Jesus. And then the cross, of course, affects all the shame of sin, all of our failure, all the accusations. Jesus, our advocate, comes in and he snatches away the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He takes it and he says, Father, even it's like a courtroom scene. You see Satan, the prosecutor, and he comes in with a paper and he says, no, I have this record against Gary. You see everything. You've heard the words out of his own mouth. I have legal authority to do what I do. And Jesus, our advocate, goes over and he snatches the paper out of his hand. It says, and he nailed it to his cross. And he says, Father, everything that Satan has said, even though he's a liar, everything he said about Gary is true. It's true. But I paid for everything by my blood. And in your courtroom, there is no double jeopardy. It cannot be paid for again. My blood has paid for it all. And we'll understand in that day we overcame Satan totally and only by the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And by their confession, the word of their testimony. The word overcome is the word Nike, like your tennis shoe. It means to overcome. Your words are powerful. Your words used against Satan are powerful. You must speak the word of God to the enemy. You must speak words of faith over your circumstances, over your life. You're not a failure. You're a conqueror. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're not weak. You're strong in him. You're not faithless. Just believe. Are you with me? By your confession, we declare Satan is inferior. He is under our feet. There is power that overcomes the devil when I open my mouth and I speak my testimony that agrees with God. Jesus has overcome. He's overcome. Didn't you feel the strength of that when we were singing that song? When the church just got in agreement and we were all singing the same song that we've overcome by him. When the church was doing it, there was strength coming into this room. There was strength coming into God's people. Don't let that strength go away by using wrong words. Use your testimony. The confession means I agree with God. I agree with his word. I walk by faith and not by sight. His promises are true, and I hold on to them, and I'm not going to back up. And then finally, by commitment. These saints in the last days, many of them are going to give their lives out of necessity. They refuse to take the mark of the beast. We'll get into that more next week. They refuse to go the way of the world, and it will cost many of them their lives. And they have made a commitment to not love their lives, even unto death. I have submitted my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I cannot back down. I cannot back up. And even today, there are Christians who have been beheaded because they have refused to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. The commitment. And God will give the grace for this if that's ever called upon in your life. He'll give you the grace to have this kind of commitment, backed up by a sincere confession, a sincere commitment not to back down. Do what he says. Don't back down. Jesus said, confession is important. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Your words are important, but it's got to be backed up with a heart that really believes this, that really believes. I don't really care what people think about me anymore. I'm more concerned about what the Father thinks about me. And so there's a war that's raging right now. Right now in this room, there's a war raging in your life, There's a war raging in this week, and no person can remain neutral. You choose this day whom you will serve. Who is Lord over you? Who's Lord over your decisions? Who's Lord over your mouth? Who's Lord over your finances? Who's Lord over your family? The battle is on, and the enemy's after your soul. If you even are born again, you're a Christian, the enemy's after your soul. He's after anything he can do to put a hook in you, to discredit your testimony, to ruin you, and to keep you from your destiny. And so you need to give all of your energy, all of your focus, all of your attention upon one thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is the blood of Jesus, and all these things will be added to you. You're called to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You and I are living on this earth for such a time as this to make a difference where we are, in the neighborhoods we are, the work where we are, community. We're here for such a time as this. And I'm looking back at the flags up on our balcony, of the Israel flag, and then we have the Appeal to Heaven flag. That was a flag that George Washington had commissioned to be put over all the naval vessels of the Revolutionary War. And at that particular time in the Revolutionary War, the colonialists were losing, and the British were getting stronger. And when George Washington had the naval ships fly this flag, it says, an appeal to heaven. The Revolutionary War in the Navy part began to change, because he realized, we're not going to win this thing by flesh and blood and bullets. We're going to win it in the spirit first. Every battle that you'll ever face is first won in the spirit realm, then in the physical realm. You win by fighting on your knees. And you need to start fighting like a man. Get on your knees. You need to fight like a real soldier. Get on your knees and fight for your family, for your marriage, for your finances, for your health, for your children, for your grandchildren. That's where you fight it. It's a real war. And today you've got a glimpse of it as we pull the curtain back in Revelation chapter 12.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.